Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on a plan for the future when we come back. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools or banned from our public institutions, and we have now banned them from our national consciousness. And now, instead of these 10 simple time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And now they're teaching the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal Constitution. Now, there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty to a law is to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, or Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic. And it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, informative, entertaining, and free. And you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we've been talking about this thing of a plan for the future, and I based this need for a plan on the future on five chapters in the Scripture, five basic chapters. Starting in the New Testament, it's Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. It's called the Olivet Prophecy, reported in three books in the New Testament, which refer back to, they're cited from Moses in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. And those are the five chapters. Sometimes people will say, well, what makes you think that this is going to happen? If I didn't look at Bible prophecy, I wouldn't believe it either. Second, the policies that are being engendered by our federal government here in the United States tell me that this is going to happen. It tells me it's going to happen because of the policies that our governments around the world are following. It's inevitable. It's like the economic meltdown that today all of the economists are saying, well, nobody could have foreseen such a thing. Hell, I have been preparing for this for 30 years, and I'm not even a Rhodes Scholar. So where did I get the idea 30 years ago that this was going to happen? Well, I got it from guys like Howard Ruff and Robert Chapman and Don McElveny. And believe it or not, from my granddaddy, who in 1950, about a year before he died, I was 11 years old, and he said, son, this insanity can't go on. This national debt is going to send us back into another Great Depression. Now, my granddad thought that it was going to happen in his lifetime. He thought, you know, this is just around the corner. Wouldn't he be surprised if he could see what's happened or transpired between 1950 and 2009? I think he'd just be overwhelmed. A national debt of $257 billion in 1950, measured and extrapolated out today, it's over $10 trillion. Now, I'm telling you, $10 trillion, that was in September, right after the Olympics. And now they have just added another $9 trillion to our national debt in just 6 weeks. 6 weeks. I mean, it just blows your mind. Well, that's an old man's mind. Now, for you young fellas out there, you young ladies, you're probably sitting there saying, so what's the big deal? And it's because in your time span, in your lifetimes, you have never seen anything but debt. You've never experienced anything like gold and silver coin or a year's supply of food in your own home. These are wild concepts to you. You've never lived in a time when you didn't live from the just-in-time delivery at the supermarket with a 3-day supply of food in your refrigerator and thought that was all normal. Now, in ancient times, people had a year-to-year supply of food, but they extrapolated that into 4 years. A 4-year supply of food was common from time to time, and that comes from the Bible. I don't know why your preacher doesn't tell you things like this, but they don't. They ought to, but they don't. So let me show you how this works. Food is brought to us once a year. The creator of the universe has built in a program, and harvest occurs once a year. You get corn once a year. You get wheat once a year. It comes in the fall. You plant in the spring. You tend and water in the summer. You watch it grow. And in the fall, you harvest it so that you have food to carry you through the winter, through the spring, and through the summer, and back to the fall again. I don't know if you understood that, but that bread that you buy at the supermarket in January, that they didn't go out and harvest that wheat last week and then ship it off to the baker, and then he's baking your bread now with fresh wheat. He's baking your bread with wheat that may be 5-10 years old. Wheat has been taken out of the pyramids 3,000 years old, and it still sprouts. And the same thing is true with honey and wine. Food, boys and girls, does not expire with a date on the can. Food, stored properly, will keep for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, as is demonstrated by what we've dug up out of the pyramids and out of Egypt and out of sunken ships in the Mediterranean Ocean. So the hoopla that you've been listening to with GMO seeds and Monsanto and the agricultural revolution that you've been talking about is totally unnatural. It's not a part of the natural world. It's not a part of what God created. Now, there's a time once every 7 years in which we have a date with history here. It's called the Land Sabbath. In order to get through the Land Sabbath, you would have to have a 2-year supply of food, because there's 1 year that you don't plant. You plant and harvest for 6 years, and then you let the land rest 1 year. That's the design mechanism. I know we don't follow that. I know it's crazy. I know it's off the wall, but I just want to tell you that that's the design mechanism. And if you don't follow that law, if you don't follow that design, then there's going to be consequences. That's the way life is. Okay, then once every 50 years, there's a jubilee. So once every 50 years, you'd have to have a 3-year supply of food. 3 years, bare minimum. And that's because right after the land Sabbath in the 49th year, you go into the jubilee year and you let the land rest 1 more year, 2 years back to back. The purpose behind that is to break the insect cycle. That 2 years back to back will break the insect cycle. They do that once every 50 years. We don't do that. Now we've got Monsanto. Now we've got Orthogrow. We've got sprays and pesticides. If we would practice this system here, built in, we wouldn't need that. But we don't. So we have to have sprays and pesticides and chemical fertilizers. But by doing that, there's a built-in side effect. Now there's one more factor that we should equate into our equation. And that is, just in case, don't you think you should have a reserve, a little savings? And so prudent people, when I was a youngster, had a 1-year supply of food from year to year. But they also had a backup supply of food for 1 year. So you should always have a 2-year supply of food, at the land Sabbath, a 3-year supply, and at the jubilee, a 4-year supply. Now we're approaching a jubilee cycle. And in that jubilee cycle, we should have a 4-year supply of food. Sometimes people will write and say, what makes you think that we should have a 4-year supply rather than a 9-year supply or a 7-year supply or a 1-year supply? Well, entering a jubilee cycle, which will come about 2012 and 2013. 12 will be the land Sabbath and 13 will be the jubilee. That being the case, then we should have a 4-year supply right now going into the land Sabbath and jubilee. All right, now that's where I got my numbers. Now, I told you that most of you people out there are in this for the duration. If you didn't sell your house in 2005 or 6, you're sure as hell not going to sell it today. In all probability, the mortgage on your house is larger than the value of it. All right, so you're stuck where you're at. So I said, okay, you know, when you have lemons, we make lemonade. You know, instead of looking at, gee, I wish I didn't get on there, hadn't gotten on the Titanic. Partner, you're already on it. And you left Ireland yesterday. The next stop is the bottom of the ocean. And you need a plan. You need a solution to this famine problem, which is just around the corner now as I speak. So I told you about a company called the Baker Creek Seed Company. Number one, you need open pollinated seeds, and you need them now. So I'm going to give you that number again. It's www.rareseeds.com. Easy one, rareseeds.com. Their phone number is 417-924-8917. Write it down. You know, today it's just funny, but it may not be funny next year or the year after. That telephone number now again is 417. They just live up the road here, peace, up in Mansfield. Area code's 417-924-8917. And their webpage is called rareseeds.com. Now, the reason I recommend this guy is because he puts a package together both for the northern half of the United States and the southern half. If you're living down in Australia, if you'll call this guy and say, what kind of a seed package do I need for where I live in Australia? Bear in mind that Australia has tropical land and desert land. You know, you Aussies down there, you're just like the United States. You know, not all the growing conditions are the same uniformly throughout your country. So wherever you live in the world, make sure, number one, open pollinated seeds. Stay away from hybrid seed and GMO. Remember, I showed you that in the scripture. Now, the reason this famine's coming upon us is because of the violations of these laws. Leviticus 19:19 tells you very plainly, do not hybridize your seed. Well, we're all smarter than God, so we hybridized our seed. Now we've taken it a step further. Now we've got genetic modifications. Now we're gene splicing. This is going to lead us to disaster. This is going to lead us to famine. Now, there's a second factor here. It's called 50 harmful effects of genetically modified foods. If you're living in the city today, you are eating genetically modified foods. If you're not growing your own food, you're eating genetically modified foods. They're called GM. And I've got an article here that Dirk took off of the internet, and I don't have an address on it. I've sat down here at the microphone, and I looked at it, and there's no address on it. So it's entitled 50 Harmful Effects of Genetically Modified Foods. Now, I'm sure that most of you people out there can find it. It's written by Nathan Battalion, N.D., Nathan Battalion. His last name is spelled B-A-T-A-L-I-O-N-N-D. That means a naturopathic doctor. Oh, listen to this. Take this back. His email, this is updated 2008, Nathan B. Battalion, N-D. His email is N-A-T-U-R-O-L-I-S-M at gmail.com. All right. You can at least send the guy an email. Now, evidently, he doesn't have a web page, I guess. It's naturalism, N-A-T-U-R-O-L-I-S-M, naturalism. It's not spelled quite correctly. It's N-A-T-U-R-O-L-I-S-M at gmail.com. Now, I'm going to read you a couple of paragraphs out of here, 50 reasons why this GMO food is going to kill you. And the size and scope of the GMO revolution is breathtaking. I mean, just breathtaking. These guys are taking over the food supply in the world. They've already got control of it, but I mean, they're taking it over lock, stock, and barrel. And within a very short period of time, as I speak, they're going to control all of the seeds in the world. Well, you know, for practical purposes. Now, they already control two-thirds of the GMO seed, and they already control half of all of the other seeds. And their goal is to control all of the seed. And the only seed that's going to be left is what you and I have. That's it. And you need to get that seed right now, because I mentioned this the other day. There is not enough open pollinated seed in the world to feed the world's population. That's number one. It's worse than that. There's not enough open pollinated seed in the world to feed half the people in the world. And that's because the GMO people already have control of half of it. There isn't enough. Now, there's still enough seed out there for a few thousand, maybe even a few million people worldwide, but that's coming to an end. And what you have is what you're going to have. This is pretty scary. Listen to this. The size of the genetically modified food market penetration is one-fourth of all U.S. agriculture, and it is not necessarily indicative that the majority of these claims are true. Biotechnology attempts, ultimately, a deeper and stronger control over nature, but a powerful temporary control is illusionary. For example, a farmer in Ottawa, Tony Huther, planted three different kinds of genetically modified canola seeds that came from the three leading producers. That's Monsanto's Roundup, Cyanamid's Pursuit, and Avantis Liberty. At first, he was happy to see that he needed to use less of the costly herbicides. But within just 3 years, superweeds among the canola plants had taken in the genes of the three types of those plants. This ultimately forced him to use not only more herbicides, but far more lethal herbicides. And there have been similar experiences in the UK. The central problem underlying all of this technology is not just its short-term benefits and long-term drawbacks, but the overall attempt to control living nature based upon an erroneous mechanistic view. In my other article, What is Raw Wisdom in Moving Away from a Death-Centered Vision of Nature, we directly take on the root and huge flaws of that mechanical vision of nature. Now, there's a second paragraph here that is awe-inspiring. He says, what is patentable also needs to be mentally distinctive, fixed, or mostly unchanging in our minds to obtain an ownership or right to control patent. Again, Something unchanging is not constantly and consciously adapting to its surrounding environment. It is not alive, and strategies to maintain that are often deadly. For example, much of GM technology is directed at eliminating surrounding biological environments, competing animals and plants by soaking them with lethal toxins. Secondly, there are terminator plants and suicide seeds that do not reproduce a second generation. This prevents a subsequent generation from escaping the controlling patented mold. In contrast to nature's rainforests teeming with life, GM technology has patented forests of flowerless and fruitless terminator trees. They are not habitats for life, but rather they exude poisons from every leaf, killing all but a few insects. Third, genetically modified food companies have gone on multi-billion dollar buying sprees, purchasing seed companies and destroying their non-patented, potentially competitive seed stocks. This includes Monsanto's 2005 purchase, Seminis, the world's single largest developer, grower, and marketer of vegetables and fruit seeds, which supply 40% of U.S. vegetable seeds and 20% of the seeds worldwide. And Monsanto is now the world's largest seed company overall, either owning or being partnered with 13 other major seed-owning corporations. It further announced its intention to purchase DeRuiter seeds in its ongoing buying binge of seed-owning corporations. As a result of all of this, just 10 seed-growing companies now own more than 55% of the world's commercial seeds and almost two-thirds of all patented seeds. Now, Time magazine referred to the consequences of a growing effort to buy out seed companies and to eliminate their competitive stocks as the global death of birth. And all of this is why biotechnology in its naked essence has been tagged by some as death technology. Now, let me remind you, Jesus of Nazareth made this very observation in Matthew 24, verse 22. Now, listen to his words again. He said, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So not only are we headed into this great tribulation, in the final analysis, and if God himself doesn't intervene, we're going to kill ourselves. In this 50-page article, or this, it's not 50 pages, I'll take that back, it's 50 harmful effects of genetically modified foods. And remember, this guy's email now is naturalism, N-A-T-U-R-O-L-I-S-M, at gmail.com, lists 50 potential problems, harmful effects of genetically modified foods. And you haven't seen anything yet until you see what the bacteria in your gut does when you introduce these genetic modified foods when you eat them. It's a scary story, but it's a story that's already out there. And there's no turning back because now the genie is out of the jar. This GM seed process has now already affected the natural biosphere around us. The genie's out of the jar. Like nuclear technology, it's a genie that we should have kept under wraps. It would have been better had we never discovered it. Like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we were much better off before we opened that jar. But now that we've opened it, it's out there, and we're going to have to live with it, like it or lump it. So again, let me remind you that the reason that I suggest Baker Creek now is because Baker Creek puts out two packages containing open pollinated seeds. Now here's the advantage. You let one of your heads of lettuce, you don't harvest it, you let it go to seed. And then you harvest those seeds, and you put them in a quart jar, and you put them down in your basement in the sealed quart jar to keep the moisture out of them. And then you replant those next year, and then you save the seeds next year, and next year, and next year, and next year, forever. Those seeds always germinate year after year after year. These GM seeds do not. And you can see the seed companies like Monsanto's motivation. They want to control the seeds so that they can control the world's food supply, so that they can control everybody on planet Earth. And they're going to do it for a short period of time. They're going to succeed. All right, now that Baker Creek seed company now is called www.rareseeds.com. I don't get a commission now. They're not gonna send me my commission check by promoting them. They don't advertise here. They're not paying me money. They don't have a contract with me to advertise their seed company. But there's other places out there to buy open pollinated seed. I'm not sitting here telling you that this is the only place left in the world. But there's fewer and fewer of them. And if Monsanto has its way, they will buy out Baker Creek. I mean, they'll just come up there and make this guy an offer he can't refuse and shut him up. They'll buy it out, and then they'll destroy those open pollinated seeds. They don't want you to have them, which is even more reason why you need them. Now, he puts out two packages. They're $90, And if I were you, I'd buy the big one for $375 so that you have a four-year supply of seed. You not only need a four-year supply of food on hand, you also need a four-year supply of seed on hand. Now, here's the way you store that seed. I have in here on my shelf in my basement the seed for the year 2009 ready to go and put in my garden. But I have a 3 or 4 year supply of seed in my freezer. And this seed is packaged in a 5 gallon bucket. So when it comes, it'll come in a 5 gallon bucket. So I bought 3 of those 5 gallon seed packages. And then I stuck a 3 year supply now back in my freezers, and I have 1 year over here on the shelf. And you need a 4 year food supply in addition to the seeds. Now let me tell you another story here. I think you're gonna profit from this one. It came from J. Richard Nimela. It's N-I-E-M-E-L-A, Nimela. It could be Nimela or Nimela. And it's called self-sufficiency, the 100 items that disappear first in calamities. Have you ever thought about that? You know, when there's a war, like World War II, what happens out here in the real marketplace? What is it that disappears first? What is it that people just naturally gravitate to and then walk into the store and buy so that there's none of it available when you get to the store? Well, there's a fellow here from Sarajevo, went through this Kosovo war. And here's what he had to say. He said, experiencing horrible things that can happen in a war, such as the death of parents and friends, hunger and malnutrition, endless freezing cold, fear, sniper attacks. Number one, he says, stockpiling helps, but you never know how long trouble is going to last. So you need to locate near renewable food sources. Locate yourself close to renewable food sources. Now, the other day, I brought to your attention a letter from a fellow from New York City. Boys and girls, honest to God, do you believe that New York City, downtown Manhattan, is located close to renewable food sources? Boys and girls, in New York, your lettuce comes from Salinas, California. Your lettuce that you go out to the restaurants, and when you're eating your salad, that lettuce came from Salinas, California. Tuck it away in your heart. I said, living near a well with a manual pump is like being in Eden. And three, after a while, even gold can lose its luster, but there is no luxury, quite like toilet paper. Its surplus value is greater than gold. Now, that's from a survivor from war in Kosovo. Toilet paper, number three. If you had to go without any one utility, shut off your electricity. It's the easiest to do without, unless, of course, you're in a very nice climate like Miami, Florida, with no need for heat. Number five, canned foods are awesome, especially if their contents are tasty without heating. One of the best things to stockpile is canned gravy, because it makes the dry, unappetizing foods that you find to eat in war somewhat edible. It only needs enough heat to warm it. You don't need to cook it, and it's cheap, too, especially if you buy in bulk. Number six, bring some books. Escapist ones like romance or mysteries become more valuable as the war continues. Sure, it's great to have a lot of survival guides, but you'll figure most of that out on your own anyway. Trust me, you'll have a lot of time on your hands. Number seven, the feeling that you're human can fade pretty fast in war. I can't tell you how many people I knew who would have traded a much-needed meal for just a little bit of toothpaste, rouge, soap, or cologne. There's not much point in fighting if you have lost your humanity. These things are morale builders like nothing else. Number eight, slow-burning candles and matches, matches, and more matches. A survival guide from a survivor from the Kosovo War. Hey, we'll have more when we come back, but let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or call me direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're back here talking about a plan for the future. Now, there are 100 items on the list here that disappear first. What do you think the first thing that's going to disappear from the shelves when there's a war or natural disaster? And the answer is, number one, generators, and good ones cost dearly. Gas storage is risky, noisy, target of thieves, and has high maintenance. There's five reasons why a generator should not be at the top of the list, but when a disaster occurs, the first thing that people want is electricity. And from a survivor from the Kosovo War, he says, it's the first thing you need to get rid of. Forget about electricity. What's number one? Water. Water is number one. Boys and girls, you're living in Cleveland. The water gets shut off. Are you paying attention to what's going on right now over in the Gaza Strip? Boys and girls, not only don't they have any electricity, they don't have any water, because without electricity, the city utilities can't pump water. I don't know how many people live there. I think it's 1 million people are locked up in a city in the middle of a war. Not only have they got bombs and rockets falling on them, not only are they huddled in their basements, but in addition to that, they don't have any water. Now, tuck it away in your heart. You need a supply of water in your own home for 30 days. So you need a 30-day supply of water. Forget electricity. You can live forever without it. Electricity is a modern phenomenon, but water isn't. Mankind has been living with water for thousands of years, and you're going to find that living beyond 3 days without it is going to be real tough. Water, number one. Now, going through the list of 100, if you'd like this list of 100, the 100 items that disappear first in calamities, why don't you go to J. Richard Niemela, N-I-E-M-E-L-A. And it's called R, let me see if I got this, R-I-C-N-I-E-M-E-L-A at earthlink.net. So I think if you went over here to R-I-C-N-I-E-M-E-L-A, that's an abbreviation for Richard Niemela, or Niemela, at earthlink.net. And what you want is the self-sufficiency, the 100 items that disappear first in calamities. Now, if for some reason you can't get a copy of that from J. Richard, then just get on our website and send us an email. Or better yet, don't send me an email. Send me a letter. Send me an envelope. Write to me and say, with a stamped self-addressed envelope, would you do that? And I might have to send out 1,000 of these or more. And so I'll do it. And then I'll get up off my dead hiney and I'll go over to the copy machine. I'll copy this. It's 3 pages. So just put a stamped self-addressed envelope in there so I don't have to address it. I don't have to stamp it. And I can just stick the goods in the envelope and drop it in the mailbox. I'll do that for you. You call me here at the law school or send me an email and tell me you'd like to get a copy of it, or just drop a letter in the mail and send me a stamped self-addressed envelope. Listen to this. Just zeroing in on the food supplies that you're going to need. The first thing in the way of food that's going to disappear is honey, syrups, white and brown sugar. And I can testify to that because in World War II, sugar was rationed. It's number 9 on the list. Number 9. The first 8 are generators, water filters, portable toilets, seasoned firewood, lamp oil, Coleman fuel, guns and ammunition, hand can openers, and number 9 is honey, syrups, and white and brown sugar. Number 10, rice, beans, and wheat will disappear, number 10. Number 11, vegetable oil for cooking. Without it, food burns, and then it must be boiled. So number 9, 10, and 11 are honey, syrups, white and brown sugar, rice, beans, wheat, vegetable oil for cooking. Number 19, baby supplies, diapers, formula, ointments, and aspirin. You know, most of you women out there, you don't nurse your babies, and so what are you going to do in a disaster? Just picture Gaza City. What are those women doing with little infants over there? And they need baby formula. Huh? That's why you need a supply in your own home. Now, of course, when the rocket or bomb hits your home and wipes you out and you got to flee, well, okay, that's the breaks of the game. But, you know, that doesn't happen to everybody. Most of the people don't get bombed out. Most of those people are in their homes. They're down in the basements, and they're huddled for survival. And what they need is food, clothing, and shelter. Well, they got the house. They got to have food, which includes water. How many people stockpile water? Nobody. Nobody. Why? Because all of your life, you've had water available at the faucet. You go flip the faucet, and there's water. There's always been an abundance of it. Boys and girls in a disaster, that ain't true. That isn't what happens in Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Rita. Just ask anybody in New Orleans. First problem coming out of the chute's water. Second problem is food. And right there with the food is the baby formula. Number 22, vitamins disappear. Then number 31, milk, powdered and condensed. Number 32, garden seeds. Let me tell you, boys and girls, the garden seeds are a long-term survival necessity. And it must be non-hybrid. And I noticed here that this guy from Kosovo put in here non-hybrid. It's a must. And he puts in parentheses, a must. Number 33, clothespins, line, and hangers. That's a must. But it's not food, so I'm going to stick with food. But he puts a must on here in several of these categories. Number 35, the thing that disappears, number 35, is tuna fish in oil. Tuna fish in oil. Number 39, garlic, spices, and vinegar with baking supplies. Garlic, spices, and vinegar, and baking supplies. Number 39 disappears from the shelf. Number 41, flour, yeast, and salt. Flour, yeast, and salt. Number 58, garden tools and supplies. I know you're not going to eat your garden tools and supplies, but you're going to be in a world of hurt with your garden seeds without any tools. I mean, I guess you can use a stick, a pointed stick. If I didn't have any tools, I could get by, I guess, if I put my mind to it. But if there's any way that you can get a couple of shovels, a couple of hoes, a couple of rakes, you know, do it. Number 60, canned fruits, canned vegetables, soups, and stews. Number 60, this is what's going to disappear. Number 60 on the list, canned fruits, vegetables, and soups, and stews. Number 62, canning supplies, jars, lids, and wax. Again, I put that in there in the food category because, boys and girls, once you've got your garden coming in the fall, remember, that food has to last you for 1 year. Now, how are you going to keep that food for a year? Drying it is the best. And so when we're talking about corn, wheat, grains, we dry them. But what are you going to do with peaches and pears and apples and nectarines? And what are you going to do with those foods that need to be canned? All right. So you need canning supplies. You know what's even more important? Knowing how to use them. Most of you women out there, you haven't got a clue as to what to do with a canning jar. And you're going to be in a world of hurt. You see, here in America, the thing that's going to destroy us, we have gone to our public schools and our public education system for guidance, and the guidance they gave us was a microwave and a refrigerator with a 3-day supply of food, so that every 3, 4, or 5 days you go to the supermarket with your car. What in the hell, ladies, makes you think you're going to have any gasoline to go to the supermarket? Take a look at Gaza again and ask yourself, do you think those people are jumping in the SUV and driving 6 miles to the supermarket twice a week to buy groceries today? How long is that war going to last? Well, in Kosovo, it lasted for years. In wartime Britain, it lasted from 1939 to 1945, a total of 5 years. Now, I'm pushing six, but it started in September 39, ended in May, and they didn't get off of rationing in Great Britain totally until 1952, I believe it was. Hell, it was clear into the 1950s before they got off rationing in Great Britain. And what's coming down upon us is worse than anything you Englishmen ever suffered in World War II. Now, remember Jesus of Nazareth? He said in Matthew 24:22, he said, if I don't stop this, no flesh will be saved alive. You were not faced with the annihilation of all of mankind in 1943, boys and girls. This is a new ballgame. This is a different story. Now, number 75. Here's number 75. Soy sauce, vinegar, bouillon, gravy, and soup base. 75. 77 is chocolate, cocoa, tang, and punch, also known as water enhancers, because the water that you're likely to be drinking may be sewer water. And boys and girls, when you get thirsty, you will drink sewer water. This is why you probably need one of those Berkey water filters. Number one, you need a water storage plant. Water is bulky. Water is heavy. You can't store a 3-year supply of water or a 1-year supply of water. But you can store a 30-day supply of water. And boys and girls, that's just for drinking. You got to have drinking water. You don't have to take a bath for 30 days. You don't have to have water for cooking. You can open cans and eat right out of the can. But you got to have drinking water. And hey, listen, you need a gallon of water per person per day. Now, you people don't drink a gallon of water a day, but that's what you should be drinking. Bare minimum, you got to have a quart a day, because just your lungs alone exhale 1 quart of water a day. So you've got to have a quart. That's just to keep breathing. Now, to perform any of your other body functions, you got to have another quart. And if you want to keep in good health, then you got to have that third quart. And if you want to have optimum health, you need that fourth quart. And the boys and girls, most of you don't have it. So start thinking about that. Number 82, graham crackers, saltines, pretzels, trail mix, and jerky. Number 83, popcorn, peanut butter, and nuts. And number 91, tea. Number 92, coffee. And number 100 on the list is goats and chickens. And that's from a Sarajevo war survivor. And they took a look at this, and they went down the list over here, and I don't see any reason to believe that it's not true, but they've got them in 100. That is, what is the first thing that people are going to be gravitating to? Generators, which you can live forever without. You can also live without goats and chickens, but, you know, number 100 on the list, if we've got a wish list, having a goat to kill and a little meat to eat wouldn't be all that bad. Now, you can live without meat. Let me tell you a little story here about cows and sheep and goats and one thing and another. If you've got goats, you won't have a garden. I'll guarantee it. There's an affinity that goats have for vegetation, and where there's vegetation in goats, there will be goats but no vegetation. You can have vegetation without goats, but you cannot have vegetation with goats. You can have goats or you can have vegetation, but you cannot have goats and vegetation. Now, I can tell you that from personal experience. And another thing about goats is if they get out, which they will, goats are like deer, and a goat can jump right over a standard 54-inch fence. So if you're going to keep goats in, that's like trying to keep deer out. You got to have an 8-foot fence. So unless you're prepared to build an 8-foot fence around your raised beds or your garden over there, I'd recommend that you think twice about goats. Chickens, same problem. Chickens have an affinity for gardens, and they especially like to dig in them. Not because they want to dig the seeds out, but because they want the insects. So your chickens, like right now in the wintertime, I let my chickens out, and they go into the garden, and they're constantly digging. But once you've planted your seed, you have to lock your chickens up. Chickens are hard to keep in, but here's the way you do it. You have to have some pretty stout scissors here, but you take and cut the ends of their wing feathers off. Being careful, of course, not to cut the wing stub. Just cut the feathers off. If you cut them off on one side, the chicken can only fly in a circle. If you cut them off on both sides, the chicken cannot fly at all. So if you've got a 54-inch fence to fence in your chickens, then you cut their wing feathers, you can keep chickens and a garden. And I do. But you've got to cut these chicken feathers about once a year. And right now I got a bunch of chickens that are flying over the fence. Their feathers have grown back out. So before we plant our garden, I got to run out to the chicken house. You have to do this at night. And so when it's dark and it's night, you go out there and two people, pretty handy, pick up your chicken, cut off her wing feathers. And, you know, that'll solve your problem. Now I want to remind you again, 50 harmful effects of genetically modified foods. It's about a 30-page article here. Let me look and see. No page numbers, but I'm just picking it up. It's 20 to 30 pages somewhere in that neighborhood. Remember, this thing is written by Naturalism. I'm going to spell it for you. It's Naturalism at gmail.com. The guy's name is Nathan B. Battalion, Battalion, and the dynamite article. Don't let me forget to give you this number again. Seed collections, the homestead package. And what I'd suggest you do is call Baker Creek Seed first. Their telephone number is 417-924-8917. I always like to get a feel for people that I want to buy from or do business with. And at the end of the world, it's $90 for a seed package. I would buy the jumbo seed package. It's $375 so that you've got a seed package for 4 years, a 4-year supply of seed. Not just a 1-year supply for you, but a 4-year supply. This seed is going to last for a while, 3.5 years, 1,290 days. If you look that up in Bible Prophecy, I think that's what you're going to find. They also have a website. It's www.rareseeds.com. That's rareseeds.com. And they've got a program. They've got a package here. You can be the dumbest kid from New York City. Hell, you could even be from the Bronx. and they can steer you in the right direction here. What you want is the Homestead package. It's a 5-gallon bucket of seed. And that seed package over there will contain, let's see, it's 25 types of seed with 60 varieties, I believe it is. And it's a great package for the medium to large gardens. Contains 25 types of vegetables and 60 varieties. And you get the 60 full-sized packets of seed for $90. And it includes things like, we've had our packages copied but never surpassed in quality or price, including or included are most of the following types of seeds. It is corn, beans, peas, cowpeas, carrots, beets, cabbage, onions, tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, melon, watermelon, cucumber, lettuce, greens, okra, winter squash, summer squash, radishes, turnips, huckleberries, sunflowers, leeks, amaranth, broccoli, ground cherries, and kohlrabi. To be honest with you, I don't know what ground cherries are. I'm going to draw a line under it and ask. I don't know what a ground cherry is. The rest of them I'm familiar with. Now, you may not like everything that's in there. Forget about what you like. Concentrate on getting the package. And if nothing else, you're not going to grow everything that's in there every year at the same time. Some of these things are space hogs. Some of these things you need a trellis for, like cucumbers and vines. They take up a lot of room. But listen, with 2,400 square feet of space, you can grow enough food. That's over 7,000 pounds, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 pounds of food on 2,400 square feet. And you people with a lot, 50 by 100 square feet, excuse me, 50 feet wide, 100 feet deep, have room for a garden 2,400 square feet. You're going to tear out your front lawn and tear out your back lawn and concentrate on important things like growing food. All right, now with that in mind, I'm about running out of time over here. Let me give you this number again. It's rareseeds.com. Make sure you get that down. The phone number, 417-924-8917. Now remember, send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, and I'll send you these 100 items that disappear first in a calamity. All right, that's it. We're out of time. I'm going to have to remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log, schedule, and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. That's it. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night.